Welcome to the Super Fantastic Nerd Hour, episode 32, Doctor Who series premiere.
Nice, Ollie.
Thanks, Conrad. I'm here with, I'm not H.A. Conrad.
You wish you were.
Oh,
you
my God.
So wish
it's
you were.
It's already getting wibbly wobbly.
Maybe you're next regeneration.
Ooh, that mysterious voice. I am Ollie Matu. I am joined by H.A. Conrad.
I'm definitely H.A. Conrad, just so you know.
Okay, this is helpful to know because it is getting very confusing today. What are we talking about today, Conrad?
Today we are talking about the series premiere of Doctor Who.
I am so excited.
I am very excited.
Episode.
It's a new Doctor. It's a new time.
A new day, a new Doctor.
A new day.
Oh, man. Well, we've got a fun crossover today.
A new outfit.
A new outfit. A new TARDIS. We got the 11th versus 12th Doctor in our crossover. And what is our top five?
Our top five is top five Doctor regeneration moments.
Ooh.
Which is going to be interesting.
Yeah, there's
to see what people pick.
Like 12 to choose from, /13.
Yes.
but before we get to any of that, we've got a great panel of Whovians joining us. I want to welcome back to the show with his third appearance as the most appeared guest on the Super Fantastic Nerd Hour, photographer and lifelong Whovian, Bill Wadman.
How you doing, guys?
Welcome back, Bill.
This is very exciting. I love the Doctor Who.
Oh, yes, you do.
He also likes to be called a hooligan, not a Whovian.
A hooligan.
Actually, I don't like either of those.
I know.
I like being called Bill.
You like Bill. All right, well, Bill, welcome back. We last saw you on our episode 11, the Cosmos episode, which we got to thank you for.
Yeah,
that.
I hear you have some good news on that
we
one.
We got some really cool news.
Yeah. Right.
So that episode got us ranked by the Geeky Awards as one of the top 10 podcasts of the year.
Woohoo!
I will take all the credit for that.
I think Alan Bailward is going to take all the credit for that.
Alan Bailward always takes all the credit for everything.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan. Please send more cat photos.
But it's not just me on the show.
No, it's not just you.
No. So we have with us, also making his second appearance on our show, Derek Bishop, who is a speculative fiction writer here in Brooklyn. He joined us for our Independence Day commentary, so we're very happy to have him here, and he has some very interesting ideas about the Doctor and what we can expect this season.
I prefer to be called a Whovian, just for the record.
But you know, so this side of the table have been Doctor Who fans since the olden times, back in the old days.
So you mean the side of the table containing H.J. Conrad and Bill Watson?
Yes, yeah, great podcasting right there.
Yeah, okay, that's a good point. The two of us have actually been Doctor Who fans since Doctor Who was Doctor Who.
You guys are watching...
Not this fluffy reboot stuff.
You were watching the PBS stuff that was on at 3 a.m.
That's exactly right.
7 years old.
Yep, yes. Exactly.
Oh, eating Rice Krispies treats.
Yeah.
To hiding from my mom so she didn't know I was up watching.
And you never knew when it was going to come on. Because like 1 week it would be on at the end of the day at 2 a.m. and then next week it wouldn't be, and you'd be like, wait a minute, where's the weird guy with the scarf?
Well, in summertime and summertimes they would somehow have these marathons, so it was great because you'd be off on summer vacation and you could watch as much Doctor Who as you wanted.
Wait, did you even get the whole concept? Like, did you ever see different Doctors and you're like, wait, this show's different?
They would jump around an awful lot. I saw there was a lot of Tom Baker, though,
there is a lot of Tom Baker.
No,
there are
Tom
Baker.
There would be other things thrown in there. They never played them consecutively though, so it wasn't like they were playing like the seasons through. They were just totally.
But mostly it was Pertwee and Baker and Davidson. It was like 3, 4, and 5 were like the big ones that you saw a lot of.
Okay,
but you guys sort of came upon this sort of post reboot.
Well, yeah, Derek, what was it? How'd you get to...
Well, actually, I didn't really get into the show until...
H.A. Conrad made him.
Correct.
This happens to many of us.
Yeah.
H.A. Conrad makes
it was
us
about,
watch stuff.
Yeah, it was about like the fifth season when Matt Smith started, but I started from the beginning of the reboot. I haven't seen too many of the classical episodes, but I actually... My very first experience, though, was with the American... made-for-TV movie that had Paul McGann in it, and...
You mean the one the true fans, you know, The episode that shall not be named.
I don't know. I feel like maybe I actually really liked it, and I mean, I saw when it first came out, and I was 15, and I saw them advertising it, and it was like the most popular British TV series,
which
like,
is not.
We're gonna ruin it.
That's also that's not how you should advertise anything in America.
No, I know. Like,
the most popular British TV series is coming to TV.
Well, I'm not certain. That's how I'm remembering it. I'm not certain that's exactly how they were plugging it, but...
Wait, so you had never seen any of the classic episodes?
No, and I was actually wondering how you guys heard about it.
We grew up in New England, and PBS played an awful lot of British programming on... and
it was only in the middle of the night, and then there was a few episodes that you could get at the video store.
Right. And also, I only had three channels growing up, because we lived so far out in the boondocks that my mom...
It's called the Sticks.
Yeah, the Sticks. That we had...
the Sticks, right here, see?
We didn't have cable, there was no satellite, whatever, so we had like PBS, and we had that, you know, antenna on the roof, and you would like turn this thing and you would hear it like click, and it would like try to turn the antenna to like get stuff. But one of the only channels we had was PBS.
I think it's gonna be interesting to see how, since I mean you guys have watched all of the new stuff and some of the old stuff, it'll be interesting to see how this side of the table versus that side of the table reacts to the new guy.
Yeah,
because right? This is kind of what we're doing here, right? We're having a little pregame before we watch the episode and then come back. So
you're saying you're experienced with the whole...
Regeneration.
It's a new... Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen several. You know, I saw...
You were here with the transition between the 10th and 11th Doctor.
Yeah.
You were a fan
and,
of that.
Yeah, and of course the 10th and... Yeah, and also 9th and 9 and 10 as well.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the new kid on the blog here in terms of Whovians.
So... Some people always, like, hate the new guy, right? That's the classic thing.
Yeah.
You hate the new guy at first, and then a couple episodes in, you're like, oh, I kind of like the new guy. Like, that's generally the trend, right?
And we were actually talking to some folks today, and some of them are in varying, parts of the reboot. And they were like, no spoilers, no spoilers. Don't tell us anything. And I was like, okay. And one of them has just begun watching the transition from David Tennant's Doctor to Matt Smith.
He's a half dozen episodes into Matt Smith. Yeah. So,
and he's like, I'm starting to get used to him now. And it's just like an interesting thing.
Really? Yeah. Well, this is why I'm so excited for our episode, because I got into Doctor Who a year ago. And I tried when the reboot was launched, and I tried watching the 9th Doctor, and I hadn't seen it on PBS. I had no idea what the show was. I knew it was popular. So I watched the first two episodes where you get to that last surviving human. And I was like, this is really weird. I'm going to stop this show because it makes no sense. And I stopped it for years. But I came back to it a year ago because Doctor Who was everywhere. At any like panel I was attending or at comic cons, people were always talking about Doctor Who dressed up as. So I gave it another shot. I watched three episodes, Blink, The 11th Hour, and Father's Day from the three recent Doctors. And that
all
got
good
me
episodes.
In. They got me into it.
You're a Star Trek fan.
Yes.
Which at the time of the original series of Star Trek, when they were just zooming around in a single spaceship, the Doctor was in a machine that was bigger on the inside and could travel in time and space, and he was, you know, from this all-powerful... I could understand how your small Star Trek mind could not handle the power and complexity of Doctor.
Wow. The TARDIS.
Oh, wow.
Well, wait.
Also,
you know,
I feel like
nice.
Doctor Who is a lot more
zany
and quirky.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
the new so one is more zany and quirky.
I think the Star Wars universe would be belittled by the Time Lord.
Star Wars?
Oh, man. I am not.
Somewhere Andrea is giggling maniacally.
Oh, man.
So what do we expect? Is that what we're kind of coming to?
Well, okay. Here's what I do want to say, though. Yeah. Let me regain some of my composure. I want to say that this, I've never seen Doctor Who as it was airing new episodes.
Oh, that's exciting.
So this might become my Doctor. My whole journey on Doctor Who has been all over the place, watching episodes out of order. I've watched a lot of the old stuff now. But I'm excited because this is the first like new episode I'm watching. This is the first time I'm watching an episode with other Whovians. My mind is going crazy right now, which is probably why I'm mixing everything up. I'm looking at the time vortex, and I think I'm kind of losing it, so I'm really pumped.
Yeah, and this, I mean, from what we know Capaldi is darker. Is that sort of the word people have been using?
Yeah.
More serious, older, less silly.
This is the other thing, though, and I have liked large part of the reboots. I've actually liked all the doctors, including Chris Eccleston's doctor. But
I think he makes a lot more sense now after the 50th anniversary.
Well, but
and the war doctor.
But I think, you know, one of the things that the doctor was to me when I was a kid was that he was an alien. And so I'm wondering if that's more where they're going back to. He has, like, Peter Capaldi, he is a huge Who fan.
He's a super nerd.
He's been into this stuff. He really understands the show, and he understands the history behind the show. I think he is so beyond excited to be on this. He actually has been on the show before.
Yeah.
As we have sometimes seen.
Was that with David Tennant?
Yes.
The Pompeii.
So I think just from the few clips I've seen, I think we're going to see a weirder, more alien doctor.
So, Conrad, you're saying things are going to get more wibbly and more wobbly.
Well, I just think you're not going to see any of that weird love and trust stuff with the companions anymore, which I'm kind of welcoming at this point.
Because he was always supposed to be, in the old ones, he had companions, and every once in a while they'd get attached to him, but he was always sort of emotionally detached.
Unless you were talking about the TV movie, right, Derek?
Well,
and that's
arguably where...
This is incorrect.
He's a companion.
And that's probably where it went off the rails,
so
right?
So does Tennant multiple times.
Right, but see, before that...
I would kiss Tennant too if I was hanging out with Tennant. He's a very dreamy guy.
But it wasn't about that, you know what I mean? Like, he was above the fray of... He was about relationships with people in the sense of, like, political things and that kind of stuff, but not romantic. It wasn't a romantic thing, you know?
And so I think that this is going to be...
Human.
Yeah, I think he's going to be more alien and freaky, and I am just excited to see his freakiness.
We're pumped for that.
Yeah.
What are you expecting, Bill? What do you want to see in Series 8?
I'm actually interested... I mean, it's still Moffat writing and still Moffat, you know, running the show.
Which is controversial.
I'm a big fan of Moffat.
You're pro Moffat.
I'm pro Moffat writing. I'm pro Moffat everything. And I think that the show took a big leap production wise when Matt Smith took over, when Moffat took over,
when Russell T was out.
Yeah, I thought he was a little too. He was a little too relationshipy.
Well, and also Russell T threw in a lot. Like he's kind of in everything but the kitchen sink. You see every single. And I mean, I think he really loves.
The universe was always on the line.
He loves the series. I mean, I think that he is a huge fan of this series. He moved heaven and earth to help get it brought back. And so you would see all these like every finale would be all the enemies of all time ever. And then it's like, okay, and now we're on to a new season.
Yeah.
So I think it was done with a lot of exuberance, but I prefer some of Moffat's writing.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll be smaller, you know, like, in much the same way as the new, Judge Dredd movie, the new one, the Dredd. It's like the whole movie took place in one building.
Yeah.
It wasn't the whole country on the line. It wasn't whatever it is. It was just three guys getting out of a building. You know, it didn't expand into this large scale thing. And I kind of like that idea. I don't know.
Do we have time for me to respond in defense of Davies? Or
let's do it, Derek.
We can do that.
What do you got?
We're at 14 minutes right now. We should probably get going. But let's take 2 or 3 minutes. Go ahead.
I mean, it's not... I actually prefer Davies as the showrunner. And I thought Moffat was an excellent episode writer. Like, a lot of his episodes during the Davies...
Are the best episodes.
Are the best episodes.
Well, Blink.
Yeah.
Being
so Fireplace.
Yeah. Love that episode.
But I feel like Davies had a lot more emotional maturity to the relationships that he depicted. Whereas Moffat, he handles like the charming, whimsical thing. It's really well. It's done really well. But I think when it comes down to more like in-depth emotional development between characters, he falls a little short. And he also, his series-long arcs seem to lack the kind of... like things are on the line, and you're saying, Davies, it's like too much is on the line. Like it's everything.
Everything's always on.
Well,
the line.
Well, no, it's like everything's always on the line all the time. So that's what I'm objecting to.
And I mean, that's a legitimate criticism, and I agree with that. But to me, it's Moffat. He disregards the rules. he breaks them all the time, and there's not, it just feels like there's not cost.
I agree. I agree with like the second Matt Smith season with the astronaut and the whole thing. Like that got a little crazy. But oh, can I say one other thing that I want to see?
Mm.
More of the TARDIS. More of the inside of the TARDIS. Yes. I want to see more than the control room.
Man,
I want to
because
there were episodes in the old series, the old thing, where they were like walking through different parts of the TARDIS into other rooms and into like, I mean, not just making the joke about the swimming pool, but actually showing hallways and rooms further down the TARDIS.
You know
and it gave it such a cool sense. You know
what shows a lot of the inside of the TARDIS is the American TV movie. Which is actually my favorite depiction of the TARDIS because it actually looks like a home. It looks like something you want to live in.
I'll rewatch it after many years.
I'm going to bring this all together.
Here. Okay.
Go ahead.
Can I say one more thing I would like to see?
Let's do it, Connor. What do you got?
I would like to see a better companion or a better representation of the companion. I really liked Donna as the companion. She was my favorite, and she was the most interesting one. I want to see less like, oh, I'm so cute and can talk really fast, and I would like to see a more in-depth relationship.
Maybe a guy.
Or maybe a guy. So whatever. I don't really care what it is. I just want to see. And now we have had some interesting news. True.
So I'm going to tie this all together here. I'm going to agree with my buddy here, Derek. I think there's been huge movement in the Gallifrey and the Time War storyline in the last 3 episodes, whether you're looking at the name of the Doctor, the day of the Doctor, and the time of the Doctor. Significant plot points have moved forward. I want to see the consequences of those things happen now. I want that storyline to slow down. And with the companion as well, Clara Oswald, you know, she has the potential to be the most interesting companion. She has had some interaction with every Doctor. We've now learned that. Spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen that stuff. And
whoopsies!
We can retcon the spoiler alert. So I want to see, we've had news that Coleman, the actress playing Clara, is going to probably going to be departing at some point this season. I want to see a
Christmas episode. Really? I think they said a Christmas episode.
Which, you know,
what?
If that's
not
the case.
It's not unusual, though. It's not unusual. Usually you see the companions kind of take off. It's been a little bit rare in the last few seasons.
Well, the Christmas episode will be the end of the season.
Right.
So, or after the end of the season. So she's here for another
season.
12 or 13 episodes.
And I want to see her storyline come to a nice end.
I think she's cute as a button.
Oh, man.
Oh,
we could
no.
really talk about that. I agree.
I really like her. I just feel like we haven't seen enough of who she is.
Yes.
And I feel like they kind of like gloss over who she is. And so much more could be done with her. I like her. I just would like to see her be more interesting.
I completely agree with you, Conrad. And going on with that, I want to see some new companions. I think companions from different eras might be interesting.
Oh, let's that's kind of cool.
Sarah Jane was really cool when they brought her back in the Tenet years.
Let's do that. Let's bring that back. Let's create a really interesting dynamic between
these
two.
So it really feels
characters.
Like a whole world and less of a... That's the other nice thing about like when they brought Sarah Jane Smith back, it felt like it rounded out. Oh, look, it actually connected the old stuff to the new stuff.
Right.
Because when Eccleston came in, it was like, I'm the only one left and this, that, and the other thing. And it was like, okay, well... You split it, and I understand why you did it, much like the new Star Trek movies, where they had to like kind of reboot it. But
well, it wasn't that
at the
bad.
Same time. Oh, at the same time, I like the idea of the continuity between them. What are we doing sitting here watching it? We should go watch the episode.
Let's go watch.
Well, can we mention our expectations? Or
isn't that what we were just talking about?
We're
all staring at the time vortex today, aren't we?
I'm just curious to see. I think when the only time we saw a companion stay on that the Doctor changed was with Rose Tyler.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really interesting how they maintained the chemistry between the characters, even though there was a change in actors. And so I'm kind of curious with like a much different actor, like an older, more serious, hopefully darker, we can expect. I'm curious, will they maintain the kind of chemistry that she had with Matt Smith?
Well, it's really interesting, though, because Billie Piper, when they told her that David Tennant was going to take over and when this was going to happen, she was very upset. She felt like she and Chris Eccleston had great chemistry and was worried that she wasn't sure how it was going to work. And then, of course, we saw how she and David Tennant got along. So.
Her and her big teeth and David Tennant worked just fine.
Yes, talking around her teeth.
You guys, enough with this. Expectations. Let's go watch the episode.
All right, we'll see in a bit.
Thank you.
Whoa! We're back. We just saw the episode live right now. All right, I want to do a 1 to 10. Derek, what do you give this episode? Deep breath. Series premiere.
Oh, man. I hope everybody doesn't have the opposite. I want to give it a 10.
10?
Whoa! 10! 10 out of 10.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Wow, 10.
Mm. All right, Derek's fanboying out here.
Conrad.
I would give it a 6.
6.
Bill?
7 with qualifications.
I'm going solid 7 here as well. Derek, what you like about this episode? You loved it.
I did. I loved all the symbolism. I love the, I don't know if we want to get into this now, but like...
Let's get into it.
Like the face metaphors, how it was brought up, and it ran throughout the episode, and various characters brought it up in different ways. We see it several times in the mirror. We see it, probably my favorite scene, which was at the end when he has the interaction with the head android, and he holds up the mirror to be like, you don't even remember where he got this face from, and the camera does the, like, two-shot, reverse shot.
You see him on the other side.
You see him on the other side. It's the same question he's been asking himself the whole episode.
And they kept saying where they chose, you know, how did they choose this? Like, when he's doing the crazy thing in the alley? You keep saying they.
Yeah.
He said, who frowned these lines, which I love that line. I love that.
Well, that sounds very Shakespearean.
There's a lot of great lines in this episode.
Well, and he did bring attention to the eyebrows, which made me very, very happy.
Did anybody else have a harder time understanding him than in the past?
The Scottish accent,
And I wonder if that's because we're an American audience.
I'm going to make a confession here.
Yeah.
When I usually watch a show on Netflix.
You watch the subtitles.
I use subtitles. Yeah. I do. I have a hard time understanding the Brits. But one thing that did stick out to me is when the doctor says to these steampunk androids, you can't replace all the parts and still be you.
Right.
Or still be the same you.
Still be the same you.
Well, that's the whole thing about, you know, humans, like, supposedly you...
Nothing in your body is the same.
Yeah, like, every 10 years, supposedly everything is different. As you kind of go along. Yeah.
There's a whole idea of humans regenerating.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's a whole idea of, can the doctor continue to regenerate now? And who is he?
Yeah. Or like, what traits remain when he regenerates and, you know, how that goes forward and, like, what he replaces? You're saying, Derek?
Yeah, I think that's a interesting way to look at it. For me, I went back and rewatched a couple episodes to kind of get in the mood for this episode.
Nerd!
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, Ollie, you've been watching episodes all week.
That's true.
So I saw several different doctors, and one thing that really struck me going back and watching in that kind of off-kilter order was that there is kind of a semblance of the same person every time.
Yeah.
I mean, he talks really fast, he gets really excited. He doesn't really know what he's doing all the time, but he pretends he does, and it kind of comes together. I mean, he has, like, this basic...
Sure. There is some continuity there.
And so I feel we're seeing each incarnation, we're seeing a different facet of his personality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe a different development based on the experiences of the one before.
Well, I actually really liked when Madame Vestra...
God, can we all say she's awesome? And pretty
awesome. Like, her whole team is awesome. They're
all great.
It was great to see him again.
I love Trex.
She makes the whole initial conversation, or the conversation between her and Clara, when she is basically like, no, he was, you know, he wasn't just flirting with you. He's flirting with everybody when he was being the young doctor. Because what do you want to be? Be accepted. That was such a fantastic bit of dialogue. It was interesting.
But did you feel like in this episode, Clara, especially for the first 2/3 of it, was sort of an audience?
Oh, of course she was.
Right. So, which of course all of the assistants always are, but especially in this one, like, you know, how do you feel about the new doctor? Oh, he's different. I don't really like him.
Really?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? And she didn't really like him at first, and she's always suspect of him, and is like, who is this guy? And that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah, it was a similar process to Rose in...
Sure.
What is it? What was that Christmas special with the...
Christmas Invasion.
Okay. It was a similar process
control.
To that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I felt... I really liked when she was alone, or when we thought she was alone, for that moment in the episode.
Where she's crying and talking to the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it really felt like she kind of pulled it together, and she wasn't just an audience. She wasn't just like an audience member there.
Here's my problem with that, and this is one of the reasons why that it pulled down to a 7 for me. So Clara struggled to understand this new doctor and to come to terms with this new doctor. Really annoyed me.
Me too.
Right, we've seen... Okay, now, this is a Doctor Who trope. We see this every time a new Doctor's been introduced. So nothing new there. But Clara is supposed to be different here. She is the impossible woman.
She is the impossible woman. She kind of knows she's the impossible woman. And she's had all this interaction with all the Doctors.
Every Doctor.
She knows what it's all about. That's part of what took me out of it a little bit. I didn't really believe.
I was worried about the episode up until the restaurant scene.
I got the impression that she doesn't remember all those different
lives
that she's
lived.
Of
it. No, not that part, but like, you know, she definitely has had interactions and she's had more of an understanding than companions usually do.
Yes. She has an added understanding. And I mean, does she remember the events of the Day of the Doctor?
I think she does.
If she does, she interacted with 3 doctors at the same time. I mean, she should have an understanding that
that's more what I'm talking about.
She did see John Hurt. Didn't
they, like, lose their memory of that at the end of it or something?
The other doctors.
No, the other 2 doctors did because something about their time. They were in some timeline or something.
But I thought Clara kept it. But maybe if that's not
I'm
the
pretty
case,
sure
then,
she
okay.
kept it.
But wait,
I'm
but did, sure did anybody else feel like up until the restaurant scene, it was sort of like, where's this going? And like, how is it coming? And then he sits down and they start interacting. And I was like, okay, now they're back on track.
Yeah.
It felt a little wandering for the first 20 minutes.
I mean, I think there were some really good things about the episode. I loved Lady Vestra. It's Vestra, right? Vestra?
Yeah.
I love Jenny. I love their interactions. I love that little team, and I like how they often help. I mean, they've helped Clara in the past understand what's going on.
I feel like they carried it through that
They carried it through the awkward piece, and they're fantastic. I did like Peter Capaldi's figuring it out and his kind of crazy, like, I did like that
and
aspect.
I like that he wasn't out of commission for most of the episode, as we've seen in a lot of the Regeneration.
And he is being super weird, which I kind of like. But, you know, it felt a little like it needed more guidance. It wasn't as tight. Like, when I'm seeing this, I'm thinking of the episode where Matt Smith was introduced, and that's what I'm comparing it to.
The 11th hour was a really tight episode.
It was, and so I know that, but it's sort of like, and I'll wait for the crossover. But that is sort of what my basis for comparison is, which is why I was a 6. I also have to say the whole piece with Matt Smith making an appearance and calling Clara.
I was going to get to that.
I don't think that was necessary.
It made me angry.
Why did it make you angry?
Well, it made me angry because basically, you know what? Like, you shouldn't have to convince the companion. And I don't think he would have had to have convinced Clara.
Yeah.
And I just don't... It didn't feel true to me. It felt like very much like, okay, we're going to bring him back for one more thing. And we're going to use this excuse to do it. And it just felt so ridiculously
tagged on. See, to me, it felt like you're a parent going... You're really going to like your new babysitter.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need that. Let the kid and the babysitter figure it out themselves. You know,
like part of the interesting part is for her to figure out whatever she's going to decide about the new doctor. And, you know, I just feel like having, you know, you shouldn't have to have that. It seemed like a crutch to me, I guess.
Now, does that play out differently if you've recently watched The Name of the Doctor? Because, Derek, did you recently watch The Name of the Doctor a few...
Yeah, well, there is the... I mean, it's in this episode where the flashback where she's going into the TARDIS right after he's had that regenerative blast that destroyed all the Daleks, and he's about to change, and she goes in the TARDIS, and before she goes in, she sees the phone is off the hook, and I rewatching that, I was like, oh, that's weird. I wonder what that's about.
Foreshadowing.
Right, yeah. Now it's like, now we know.
Yeah.
I think that you guys being longtime Who fans, I can understand that can be frustrating to you, but I think a lot of people started watching with Matt Smith and Stephen Moffat.
True,
they started watching with the 5th season.
Especially Americans.
Right, and especially the American audience.
The beginning of them simulcasting it not simulcast at the exact same time, but on the same day around the world.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a point in which they really upped the broadcasting.
In America.
In America, absolutely.
You know, I also thought that there were a lot of things where they brought back old jokes. The whole, I missed something. They did that from 11th Hour. Yeah.
And what did I see?
Yeah. Then there's the
Geronimo.
Right, the scarf thing. You know, I need a long scarf. No, that's stupid. I've outgrown that. You know?
Yeah, that one's stupid.
Well, obviously the reference to the girl in the fireplace, which the whole thing is kind of half bell, based on like the ring about.
Well,
like,
what if that's going to come in
and,
later?
Well, those are really cute, and I wonder if the question
times
is
like this. I miss Amy.
Right. That was a good one too.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, with her long legs. But the question is, I wonder if that's going to be his trope. Like that's going to be his line. You know, that he's always going to be sort of no. Logically, you guys are thinking about this wrong. The question is, whatever, which is, I kind of think is an interesting way.
It's but a little Sherlockian.
Well, that's what I was going to say, because Vestra says the game is afoot.
The game is afoot!
Which is kind of like...
That's from an earlier episode where she was Sherlock.
Yeah, right. But so there is an interesting...
Well,
like,
there's a Moffat connection
here. Of course,
here.
Sherlock. Yeah. And I wonder, that almost felt a little too... crossovery for me, because it's also the Victorian thing, and you have all that thing.
Yeah,
but I was, it kind of made me go
And Moffat has recently said that there's probably not going to be a crossover between Sherlock and Who.
Whatever.
Probably.
Whatever.
But looking at this episode, I'm thinking
maybe. I liked how it looked. I did like a lot of things about this, and I did, you know, Peter Capaldi. He's a lot more mysterious in this, and there is a lot more going on in terms of you don't really trust this doctor yet. You don't. He's a little out
man,
there.
I'm so down with this doctor.
No,
this
and that's like and that is the thing. But that's the thing. I'm looking forward to other episodes. I'm not being like totally down on this. I like
the other side of the paper gag.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was kind of cool as like a cute little like, oh, that's clever.
But in terms of what I'm looking forward to,
that's a very Moffat thing.
He's unpredictable. He's a little crazy. Yep. He is definitely not nice, and apparently does not like hugs, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But there's that stuff. I'm not. You know, I have to say, I know that he picked the costume deliberately to make it easy for kids to dress up as a doctor or as for a cosplay,
which is kind of an awesome idea.
Which is an awesome idea,
but it's not very distinctive.
It's a little.
I wonder if they're going to add pizzazz over
it's
time.
It's a little like I might be like a vampire or not, and
there's no bow tie.
Yeah. There's no bow tie, and bow ties are.
And David Tennant's thing was the Converse shoes. What, you know what I mean?
And
the striped.
And the
it was
coat.
Kind of a hipster kind of look.
The inside red. Yeah,
the inside red is cool.
Yeah, but you don't. You're not gonna always see that, and it's like he looks a little like a priest to me. I'm not sure that I'm in agreement about this particular outfit. I don't like. It's a little just blah to me.
So I showed New Anne the new Doctor Who. The new Doctor. I am correcting myself, listeners. So I showed my partner the picture of the new Doctor and said, isn't it cool that he chose this costume so that people can easily cosplay as it? And New Anne looked at the picture and said, yeah, but where's the big scarf? Like, where's the distinctive piece? Now, she's not a Whovian, but she knows about the scarf.
Right.
Well, that's the thing, because, you know, it's one thing, and, you know, maybe he's going to add something in, like, something cool later. Maybe, I don't know, but, like... The thing is that to want to look like the Doctor, you kind of want to look like the Doctor for a reason. There has to be something distinctive so people know who you are. I don't know. I think you're correct. There's not that piece of the costume. People are going to think he's like Bram Stoker. I don't know. It's a little like...
You know, Derek here, though, you said this is you. Everything you want, this Doctor is embodying. Mm-hmm. What is that? I think because the three of us are a little...
Well, it wasn't his outfit.
Because the rest of us didn't give it a big
really
10.
Care.
Well, and I understand it, because I know you weren't a huge Matt Smith fan. You were not. You were waiting for this Doctor for a while.
Right. So. He's everything that I... He's like darker. Because one thing I thought that Tennant did really well, and in Eccleston, too, before him, but I really loved about Tennant the most, was the way he could go like really dark and do... You know, do things that this isn't just like some fun-loving guy that travels across the universe. This is a being that has like cosmic responsibility and can do things that are sometimes horrific. in order to maintain the balance. And I never felt that way with Matt Smith's performance. I never felt like he was never scary. I never felt like, wow, he's like powerful. I felt he's cute and clever. And he can come up with some things.
I had moments though where I felt like he was powerful, but it wasn't a continuous feeling with him.
Right.
And here I do feel like I feel like this doctor is an authority.
Yeah. They also made the boyfriend girlfriend flirting thing. I mean, they said it like 12 times during this episode.
Oversold it a little bit.
Yeah, I think
so. They don't need to go there.
I don't
want to
hug. I'm not your boyfriend. I'm not. You know what I mean? Like they just. But you know, back to our observation in the little pre-show thing that we did. We wanted to get rid of we wanted to go back away from all of that relationshipy stuff. So yeah. For us, we should love all that.
No, and I love it. I just, why do you need to hit that point home so much? I mean, I feel like, I don't know, it just felt
it to the Star Trek
fans.
We don't need any explanation. I'm keeping up with you, Bill.
I thought there were several things about this episode that were, maybe 10 was a little high. I was still from the glow.
It's already not doing that.
I'll stand by my 10. But
that's what we call in the business cognitive dissonance and rationalization.
There did seem to be a lot in this episode that was addressing concerns and criticisms that people had of the show. And they were anticipating people having of the show. They're like, oh, we don't like the fact that he has a Scottish accent. We don't like the fact that he's older. And I think they were trying to nip all these kinds of complaints.
I don't mind that he's older at all. I think that that's kind of cool that he's like an older doctor. And, you know, the original,
he's as old as the original actor.
Right. So I think that that's cool. I also really, I mean, I think he has clearly done his homework. He is figuring out who his doctor will be, which is very cool. I'm really.
Yeah. I think that takes time.
It does, but I'm really excited to see what he does with it. I have a lot of... I'm very positive on this. So my number that I gave it is not, you know... It's not a reflection of Peter Capaldi's work.
One of the things that really stuck with me was how well acted this was. I think Peter Capaldi... He's the only Oscar-winning doctor.
He has an Oscar?
He's got an Oscar.
What?
For some British movie, I don't know, but he's got an Oscar.
Nice.
And I'm sure other doctors have won BAFTAs. But this is
wow.
I thought it was. It was a very.
I can't wait to see what kind of response that gets from people.
Send your complaints to H.A. Conrad. He did a really nice job playing this character. And, you know, one of the things I'm wondering is, did this doctor attempt murder?
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I'm also really curious about the last little scene there. Missy.
I don't know if I like that girl.
Missy. What is Missy stuff?
She's like the new big bad. It's clearly going to be...
She's got to be a big bad. Is it a Time Lord prison they're in? What are they in? It's kind of...
I don't know.
It looks a little bit like...
I think they're in the Phantom Zone.
I think we're going to find out where the faces come from.
Are they in a holodeck?
Okay, let's...
Say that again, Derek?
I think we're going to find out where the faces come from when he regenerates.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Well, that's making me think of the curator from 50th Anniversary.
One
of my ideas is, like, this is the doctor far in the future has gained power over his regeneration, regenerates into Tom Baker, because why wouldn't you, and has retired. So do you think he's going to find out more about regeneration?
I think so. I mean, he started a new cycle. So maybe Capaldi's just a younger, what's his name, the first one, Hartnett?
You think he started an entirely new cycle?
No, that's what they say.
We don't know. Yeah. He golden stuff came out.
He clearly says it in The Time of the Doctor. He's like, this is a whole new cycle starting all over again.
Yeah, how do they justify that?
They don't. It's just they're making it up. Well, yeah, but you know what? In the beginning, when they're
actually... Clara whispered into the crack.
Yeah. Well,
when they came up with the
whole idea of regeneration in the first place, that was also made up, so hey.
What do you guys think?
By the way, Peter Capaldi won his Academy Award for Best Live Action Short Film... Franz Kafka's It's a Wonderful Life.
Wow.
Huh. So there you go. Now we know. Can't imagine why you didn't know that and why that didn't just Conrad's trip off of your
always
tongue.
Always got my back.
What did you guys think of the new TARDIS interior?
It's not just a new interior, it's the exterior, too.
Really? Okay, yeah.
The little windows.
Yeah, the windows are kind of different.
Those are different. There's more of the T in the thing.
It
looks a little bit more futuristic to me on the outside. And on the inside, it's a little bit more retro. You've got chalkboards. You've got all those circle Dalek things.
Very
I just
metallic.
Have to say, the little comment on very much like the Doctor Who TARDIS from the movie.
Oh, back to the TV movie.
Which I think was...
Actually, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's got the chair. It's got the plush chair. It's got the books.
The new theme and the new opening.
I don't like the new... The new opening is fine.
Bill, did you like the new TARDIS?
It's a little metallic and sterile, and I'm not sold on it. But I thought...
It looks more homey to me.
But I thought that some of the former ones were a little too steampunky.
Mm-hmm. And this not one looks techno- more steampunky to me.
I don't know, you know what?
The controls and stuff don't. It doesn't have like typewriters and like all that kind of thing.
It's got books and chairs.
It's got books and chalkboards.
Yeah, but that stuff, but that's different. That's like...
Yeah, and there's little bookshelves. It's more library. Well, yeah,
I think it was just because the control surface looks more futuristic.
Yeah, I also... But you know what? It's not distinctive enough, much like his outfit. So I'm kind of like, eh.
You know what it looks like? It looks like Tomorrowland at Disney.
A little
bit.
It does. Yeah.
It's got that color.
It's sort of like an exhibit in you know, like near Space Mountain or something.
Yeah. I don't... It's, yeah, it's...
You know, it's kind of, it looked kind of rusty.
You know,
the
they also made
like
the...
A darker...
Oh, wait, the opening.
Yeah, we got to talk about
okay,
this.
I thought the opening was fine. I think it's good, but going down the tunnel... is classic Doctor Who. Yeah. It's sort of like, you know what it is?
I bet you... Bum, 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 bum.
So Ali can understand this. It's like in Star Trek.
I understand.
I'm just kidding. No, but remember when Enterprise, the TV show, came out?
It's been a long road.
Right, which I love the song.
I hate that song.
I don't like that song.
But the opening of it is all showing scenes from like human space stuff. Yeah, it's very nice. But it wasn't... what all of the other Star Trek openings were, which was the ship flying through space. And Star Trek fans were really upset about it because they were like, wait a minute, this isn't following...
Yes.
You know, I think it's the same kind of thing with that where it's great and it's fine and I like the Enterprise start too, but it's very different than what came before. And I think that's why I don't like it because, I mean, this is 50 years old now.
You know what? I really like that they took this from from something that a fan had put up. And I mean... I do think that that's something that this show...
I hope they paid him.
Well, I'm sure they did.
So Moffat explained that our beautiful new title sequence, it's absolutely stunning. It's from an online Doctor Who fan. Billy Hanshaw just decided to make a Doctor Who title sequence and put it on YouTube. I happened to cross it and thought it was the only new idea for a Doctor Who title sequence since 1963. We got in touch and decided what we're going to do that one. So he really liked the idea that this is visually... so different from everything we've seen before, which absolutely backs up what you're saying, Bill.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's fine. And I mean, it still has this whole very circular feel where you're going down into something and that's fine.
A lot
fine.
Of clocks. You're going into a lot of clocks.
And I felt like the one from, like the original Doctor Who, the Doctor Who logo from 2005.
Yeah.
Like that weird pill-shaped thing.
I never liked that. I never liked that logo. Yeah.
And so when they rebooted with Matt Smith and it was that I really liked. I don't know. It was fine, I guess. I don't know. I guess it'll grow.
There's nothing
I could do about it.
I like the kind of
It was sort of. It wasn't like his whole face. It was just a little chunk of his face.
Yeah.
There were two other things that I noticed. One where she said, "I've called the authorities and the police came," and Clara said, "Why don't we do that more often?" And it kind of reminded me, like, are they going to make the police more like unit? Back in the day.
Oh, interesting.
Because, you know, that like, you know, we have some sort of people here on Earth that are on our team.
Yeah.
You know,
like
we're going to call. So I thought that was like a call back to those days.
I thought that was sort of like a hint for the future. It was a little bit of a.
And then there was the don't breathe, don't blink. Mm-hmm. There's the blink reference with the not breathing. So, I mean, there were lots of sort of callbacks for Doctor Who nerds.
Yeah.
To make them go, oh, look, haha, I see what they're saying there.
Oh, direct lines.
Well, I also like seeing Clara in the that era again.
Yeah, and the dresses again and stuff.
The dresses again, and there's a callback to her theme.
That's a pretty song.
It is a pretty song, and it's played right when she comes out in that in the era clothing. That was interesting. I think this is a very... It's a promising start.
Agreed.
I think having watched a ton of Doctor Who Regeneration episodes this week, I think it's solid. It's better than most of the ones I saw. It's not quite near the best one I saw.
Well, on that note, are you ready to enter in to the Infinite Crossover Chamber?
Exterminate! The Doctor will be put into the Infinite Crossover Chamber!
Oh,
thank
my
you,
goodness.
Thank you, Davros.
Ali, wait, I have to know, how long, how many times did you practice?
I practiced that this morning.
I knew.
I was debating between that and doing the TARDIS sound effect, but I couldn't quite pull off the sound effect.
No, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
So wait, right.
what's the question today,
So the crossover chamber, we are pitting Matt Smith's Doctor.
The 11th Doctor.
Against, well, now Peter Capaldi's 12th Doctor slash 13th Doctor, depending on what...
Not according to Moffat.
Okay, well, let's stick with 12th Doctor.
Leave it at 12th Doctor.
Okay. For those of you who are not aware, some people consider this 12th Doctor to be the 13th Doctor due to the world, or the War Doctor.
Yes.
So wait, what's the question, though? Which we prefer?
I think Derek, you actually came up with a question for this week.
It was who would you rather be a companion to?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So we're going to debate. Yeah. It's a little bit different way. You know, doctors have been compared against each other many times, and we want to do something a little different here. So it's a completely different way of looking at this question. Who would you want to travel in time and space with? The 11th Doctor or this new 12th Doctor?
Based upon... one episode versus three seasons.
Well, come on. It can't be a perfect crossover chamber.
Should we start with Derek again?
Go for it, Derek.
I don't know. I'm really divided.
Really?
Yeah.
You give him a 10, but you don't know if you want to be with him.
Well, as a viewer watching a cool story, I would definitely rather watch number 12, if we're using that nomenclature.
Right.
But as like someone who is actually there...
Yeah.
I think this new doctor is going to go to some more dangerous, darker places.
He's going into darkness.
Yes.
Hopefully he's not going on a Star Trek into darkness.
With a comma there?
No, colon.
Plus, Derek, he's got those eyebrows. You'd have to look at those eyebrows all the time.
Those are attack eyebrows.
Those are attack eyebrows.
They might succeed.
That was cute.
You guys... am I the minority report in this crossover? I'm going 12th Doctor. Here's why. I don't want to be with a doctor who's like half flirting with me all the time. I don't want to go with a doctor.
Well, we all know.
Oh, you're making assumptions there.
Yeah. No
well,
kidding.
I
think we can safely assume that.
I also don't want to be with a doctor that says, I'll be right back for you, and then appears like 15, 20 years later when this doctor has impacted my whole life and I've been waiting for this doctor, and then comes, picks me up. The 12th Doctor is... He needs a help of a companion. He needs a companion more than the 11th Doctor did at this same point in his life. I think as a companion to the 12th Doctor, you have more opportunity to kind of shape what the journey is going to be.
So you were saying there's more opportunity for career growth there as a companion?
And also less opportunity for sexual harassment.
Mm.
Conrad?
You know, I'm a little bit torn because I think that the 11th Doctor... would be, he's fun, he's goofy, he likes to dance, he's super strange.
Fish sticks and custard.
He's funny and whatever and lighthearted. But, you know, I'm a darker girl, so I might have to go for the 12th Doctor.
Yeah.
I don't know, no, I hadn't say yet. Oh,
I tried to give
I left you hanging
a high five.
Too early,
sure
too
high five-age there.
yeah, she totally dissed me.
I know, I did. I'm
Conrad!
Sorry.
You were really trying to do a mind meld, weren't you?
I was.
A little bit.
It was a forced mind meld.
But, you know, it's such a tough decision because the 12th Doctor... seems a little unbalanced.
Maybe Bill can sway you.
While he showed up there at the like right there for Clara, he also is a little bit like, I don't know. He seems a little mean and he doesn't like hugs. So I don't know. I may have to go. I may have to go for. I think I'm gonna have to go for 11.
Man.
Okay.
Bill, help me out here, man.
Okay. Go ahead, Derek. Say what you're gonna say.
I mean, I was a little undecided. I think.
Oh, you're gonna side with Ollie. I know it.
Well, it's because of what you said. It's because of what you brought up, and you're like, he's a little mean.
So you like people to abuse you? You're that kind of guy?
Well, I think it's...
Abuse? There's no abuse that has happened yet.
He is...
Not yet.
I mean, there's a little chiding that he gave to, or a little teasing that he gave to Clara, but...
I don't want to travel around with my dad. I want to travel around with a fun person.
That's true, but when push came to shove, he got... I mean, when he's, like, shoving that android against the wall, and he's just, like, yelling at him, that was, like, Mr. Angry Face right there. And it's kind of like, who do you want to be the person that's protecting you in this crazy universe where, like, anything could happen? Do you want, clever, charming Matt Smith, or do you want a doctor that's going to be able to, you know, kick ass and take names when it comes down to it?
Well, as long as he's not kicking your ass.
That's true, and that, I guess that remains to be seen of how it...
you guys keep calling the 12th Doctor mean. I don't think he's mean. I think he's kind of confused. He's dealing with some strong emotions.
Curmudgeonly. How about curmudgeonly?
I wouldn't even call him a
curmudgeon. He's a little curmudgeonly.
Not based on this. I wouldn't say that at all.
Aggressive, maybe.
Aggressive? Where are you guys getting this?
Okay.
Did you not see the angry face?
Did you not see the attack guy?
I didn't see an angry face. I saw a guy who's struggling to understand who he's become. I'm seeing a guy who's dealing with a lot of confusion, some anxiety, some like powerful emotions. I'm not seeing an angry guy.
Ollie's in therapeutic mode right
true,
now.
He's true, but
it's my job.
What about the last scene where he's struggling? He has that conversation with the head android, and where you see all those things, those are really interesting to watch throughout the episode. When he gets to that point and he begins that conversation, I mean, he starts it with, I've got a really bad feeling, I'm going to have to kill you. I mean, he's not showing his confusion to an enemy. He's not, you don't see that. He seems collected, and
do you know why he's angry? Because he says, look down over there. I never see them as small people. He's protecting Earth, as the Doctor does. That is a Doctor in his finest quality. The Doctor as a protector of this wonderful planet we live on. Derek, I don't think you like Earth. You have something against humans.
Wait, no, I like it when he's that way.
Wait, so you're saying you'd rather work with that doctor then?
Yeah, I would feel safer probably.
All right, so you're...
But would you like it? See, you're not answering that
question. Which would you prefer? I could
have
which
would you prefer?
Philosophical conversations with the 12th doctor.
12, 12, 11. Mm-hmm. Is that where we're at?
Bill.
Okay. Can I say that all the other doctors, when they've regenerated, there's always been this sense that the doctor is the one person on the show that there's no question that you can trust them. You know, like the doctor always knows what's right. The doctor always knows what to do. The doctor, so far with this guy, I don't get that feeling yet. I don't trust him. I mean, he's still the doctor. He regenerated. He's, you know, he's all those things still, but there's this, I don't automatically... He's not the guy that I would put all my weight on yet. And I've always felt that way in the past. Like, even when Matt Smith, the first thing when he pops out of the thing and he's talking to Amelia, and you're like, oh my God, hey, it's the doctor. Look, he's silly, he's whatever, but like, he'll figure it out.
Yep.
There's always this faith, even and even with, going all the way back, but we don't have to go all the way back.
No, go all the way back.
Yeah, go all the way
back. No, I just, you know, I mean, okay, we'll go back to Tennant. You know, Tennant's like, you know, asleep, whatever it is.
That wasn't all the way back. That was just a little bit back.
I was going the next one back. Okay. And then,
this
you
is
going
to take a while, you guys.
Yeah. he wakes up and, you know, all of a sudden he's like, okay, here I am. Like,
and
I'm up now.
And he's going to do
and
it.
And I'm going to take care of it. Oh, yeah, you know, the whole you know, blood control thing. I haven't seen this in years, you know. I
feel like this doctor arrived at that point, though,
however,
by the end of the episode.
However, yes. Yeah, perhaps. But
Derek said the correct answer.
I will say that I don't know where he is going, where this show is going, where he's taking the TARDIS. And it's much more adventurous feeling than it has been in the past.
There's a confidence with the other doctors when they do sign off on their first episode that, like,
the next episode is going to be fun and whatever it is. This one, it's like, wow, I have no idea where they're going.
No, and I like that, but I don't necessarily want to be a companion to that
doctor. Well, if you know,
I like, as Derek says, I like watching it. Would I want to work for it?
The companions almost never die, so you can trust that you're just going to be on a fun ride. So I am going to vote for 12. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, Conrad.
Sorry. I don't agree with any of you. That's okay.
I love Matt Smith, and I would say Matt Smith, except Matt Smith would... Yeah, he'd probably flirt.
Clearly, the three of you do not work in the corporate world. You do not... you do not understand what you're asking for. That's all I can say.
Dear listeners, let us know who you'd rather be a companion with. The 11th Doctor or the correct answer, which is the 12th Doctor.
Well, it's very close. It's very close.
It is very close. Yeah. I could go for either of them.
Yeah.
I might be with Matt Smith... Oh, I was going to say over David Tennant. Definitely over Eccleston.
Over David Tennant? Really?
No way.
No.
I think, here, let me bring it all together. I think we can all agree that if we could choose between all the doctors, we're all going to pick the 4th Doctor.
Mm. No, I'd go with the 3rd.
Really?
What? All right, let's close the doors on the TARDIS
here. That's fair. Okay.
All right, guys, we're closing the doors. And let's go into our top five. Conrad, what do we have in our top five this week?
In our top five, we are picking top five moments of regeneration. So these are not just necessarily restricted to the episodes with regeneration, but basically when the doctor knows that he will be regenerating and things surrounding that. So,
how'd you guys make your choices here?
What do you mean, how?
Like, what was your criteria?
Memorable. Memorability.
Yeah, memorability.
Impact, too, I think.
Yeah,
fun. There's some fun.
Some are silly.
There's some silly ones, too.
I think it's like a different thing for each one of mine, perhaps.
Yeah.
But can I just ask one question here? Are we just limiting this specifically to the doctor?
Oh, interesting. Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
Or
ooh, that
are we including other Time Lords?
We never specified.
Wow, Conrad, nice.
I think, Conrad, we only specified top doctor.
All right, number five's changing.
No, let's... I have no idea as a limited Whovian as I am, I have no idea what just happened here, but something is going down. Let's find out what's happening.
I think I know what they're...
All right.
Bill, what's your number five?
Well, no. We'll start with Derek again.
All right. Derek gets to
come around the table.
Well,
what do you got, Derek?
I don't think you guys are going to like my 4 and 5.
Why do you see this? Go for it.
My number five is seeing the 7th Doctor.
Movie. Is this a TV movie?
It's seeing the 7th Doctor change.
Are
the
all five
doctor.
Of your choices and now, a TV movie?
No, they're not.
Are you sure? Are you sure, Derek?
No, I'm very sure.
It's okay if it is. Nobody's judging you here much.
Oh, really? That's not the impression I get. I think because I saw it when I was 15, it was like... And for years, I was kind of like, oh, that was really cool. I wonder what that was, because I heard it was a series. And it wasn't until years later in college that I realized it had been Doctor Who. And so I think it had, you know, whenever you see anything when you're younger, around that age, you're like, oh, that's, you know, and that was the first time I had encountered that concept of, like, an alien that could change bodies. And it was really cool. It was my first experience with the whole Doctor Who premise. And I loved it, and I thought it was great, and I like the fact that it's more of like a build-up, it's more of a kind of a process, which is something that I'm not as big a fan of in the British series, where it's just like light shoots out of him, and he changes immediately. You get to see like his face shifting and morphing, there's like lightning shooting off of him.
So it was the drama of it all.
I don't know if this is drama. It felt more like a process instead of like just a religious transfer or fantasy type experience.
Okay, not bad.
And it's got the nostalgic thing.
All right, Conrad, what's your number five?
So my number five is not. I didn't like how they did this in the series because it was a little bit weird, and it's nothing like the normal Time Lord regenerations. But you know. There is a point when Romana regenerates, and she was played by Mary Tam for a bit, and I really, really like Lala Ward, so
Yay, Lala Ward.
This is my favorite regeneration moment.
Okay, for those of you on the other side of the table,
I have no idea what you during, just talked
during,
about.
During wonk, 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 wonk is all I heard.
During Tom Baker's
that's the guy with the scarf, right?
Yes, that's the guy with the scarf. There was another Time Lord who was a lady, Romana.
Whoa!
Yeah. Who was with him for, I think, 8 episodes or something. It was the Key to Time series, so it was, and then a little bit extra. And in the middle of it, she regenerated into this other character, this other actress named Lala Ward, who is incidentally married to Richard Dawkins.
Which we talked about in
And was also at some point involved with Tom Baker.
Yeah,
she was married to Tom Baker.
And then was introduced to Richard Dawkins by Douglas Adams, who wrote for Doctor Who in the 1970s.
I think that this is a good 5 pick.
Yes. It's a good number. So that's but the mechanism of the regeneration, I've always had problems with.
And
it
she
was
just
super weird. She kind of tried out different bodies. And
was weird.
And it was super strange, and it was silly, and then suddenly she ends up, and it's Lala Ward.
You could argue that it was non-canon.
But it's a precedent that the Doctor could develop, and that not a, the
that
Doctor,
he could
a Time Lord can develop some control over.
Yeah, but that was an older...
And it's not clear whether it's because she was a female Time Lord. I don't know. But
the Doctor always did. I mean, he would regenerate, and then he'd look in a mirror, and then he's always sort of the, oh, I hate this about me. I don't like this about me.
Yeah.
But, Romana, it seemed like she had more control.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say, though, at the time, the Doctor's always sort of been on the run from Gallifrey, where Romana was sort of lent to him by Gallifrey just for a short amount
of
time.
So she wasn't in
trouble. Maybe she
lent to him. That sounds...
And she was put together with him to do this thing. So maybe she, being more in with the Guardians, as it were, have more control over it. I don't know. But yeah, good number 5. I agree, and I have a mind meld with you on number 5.
Really?
Yep.
Well, nice.
So, Ollie, number 5.
Okay. Wait, so when I said that initial thing,
I was like, go ahead.
Wow.
I have a big crush on Lala Ward.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, my number 5 is the Ninth Doctor's first appearance in Rose. Here's why I went for it. Now, first off, I should say, I watched a ton of Doctor Who this week to prep for this. I watched a ton of the Regeneration episodes. A lot of them are pretty bad. They're not, like... good Doctor Who memorable episodes. So,
are you speaking classic?
I'm saying classic and new. Yeah. But I think Rose should be on this list because it's the first time we're seeing Doctor Who back on TV, minus the TV movie for a very long time.
That's such a good point because, well, as a person who is a big fan of the show, seeing that episode was so exciting to me.
Absolutely, and I love... One of the things I love about this episode is there's no regeneration amnesia. I really like... I think that...
Well, because we don't know how long he's been around.
He just appears, so this is not... I mean, it's
he
his appearance.
He appears and he says, run!
Yeah.
I'm the Doctor! Run for your life! I love that moment right there.
Run for your life.
So it's not the greatest episode, but I do think someone needs to put it on the list. So that's my number 5.
Cool. I just... I feel compelled to say technically that's not a regeneration.
It's not, but it's new Doctor, I guess.
Right,
but it's
okay.
New Doctor.
It's getting to know the Doctor, which is the spirit of all the regeneration episodes.
Yes.
I can agree. I agree with that choice.
Poor Ninth Doctor, we're probably never going to see that regeneration.
No, we did in The Time of the Doctor. Wait, no.
Day of the Doctor.
Do we see it in The Day of the Doctor?
Yeah.
Oh.
Very briefly, you see his face.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Number 4. Let's mix it up. No, we've been picking on Derek a lot. Bill, I'm going to give it over to you.
You're going to give it to me? You know, it's funny. I was going to use one, and now I'm going to change it up. Mostly because...
Wait, are you pulling a Conrad?
That's the Conrad
like
method.
That's what Conrad does?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought... Okay. The end of Patrick Troughton's the Second Doctor's what would be the correct word?
Time span.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there's an episode called The War Games, right? So it's very long. It's like 10 hours long. It's black and white. It's kind of a neat episode. But at the end of it,
if you can get through 10 hours,
if you can get through 10 hours of it, I think it's on YouTube actually. Where he gets captured and basically they stick him on Earth as a they like force him there as an imprisonment, which is why most of the Third Doctor, he's on Earth hanging out with UNIT. But they also, I think they force him to regenerate, and they send him to Earth as a prisoner, right? They kind of like remove the Second Doctor, right? They sort of like push him along. And I just like the idea that in that transition, not only does he become a new person, but the show takes a really big turn in the fact that sort of now there's.
Well, and this is the first time they had come up with this. This was like.
Yeah.
The,
well, this was the. No, well, this is the second regeneration. Second. But the first
but
time
no,
they
but
called
this
it.
This is the first time that they yeah. called it that.
And
it was called a renewal before. Right?
Yeah. And so there's a certain amount of. Now, some people say that the BBC did that because they had to lower the budget, so they made it all on Earth instead of going to different planets.
And
that's why the Third
that.
Doctor was there. But I like the idea that there was a reason why the Doctor. You know, regenerated, and he didn't want to do it, and they forced him to, and it turned the whole show around. So my number four is the transition between 2 and 3 as a whole.
Cool.
And the circumstances around it, like the fact that they forced him to, you know, mm-hmm. it's kind of neat. Anyway, that's my number four.
Very good one.
Conrad, what do you got?
My number four is the parting of ways, and that is the Eccleston to Tennant transformation. So that is
9 to 10.
9 to 10.
What about it?
It's, you know, there's. I think Eccleston has gotten a lot of bad press, and you know, there's some things that I've seen. I know there's been a lot of controversy in terms of, you know, that he wouldn't go. He didn't want to be in the 50th anniversary episode, which made me very sad because I think that would have been so cool. And he was very much missed.
Yeah.
And I picked this partially because I just think he really did do a great job, and he brought the Doctor back. He brought the series back. I think he doesn't get enough credit for that. And I think he did an admirable job and was a really interesting rendition of the Doctor. And so I was actually very sad when that finale happened, when Rose, you know, takes on the time vortex and basically he knows he has to die. And it's a really heartbreaking moment between the two of them. It gets a little cheesy, truly, truly. But, and then it's just suddenly David Tennant. And it's just, it's bittersweet because you see Tennant and you're kind of like, and it was the first moment where I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to like this new Doctor. Because you just see a little glimpse of him when he's in the clothing and stuff. And it's, and basically I kind of felt like Rose felt when she like sees David Tennant, which is like, who the heck are you? And yeah. So it was just this really great moment. So that's why I'm number four.
I think that's a good pick. And yeah. For you puny Whovians, I perfectly understand one of the reasons why he didn't want to be in the 50th anniversary episode. It's very similar to what happened to Leonard Nimoy when they offered him the part in Generations, Star Trek Generations. He looked at the script and he said, I'm basically just a cameo here. And Moffat had meetings with Erickson and said, you know, here's the role, what do you think? And he's like, well, this could be any Doctor. You don't really need me in here. So
I also don't think he realized how much fans really would have loved to see him.
Yeah, and that's truly sad part here because I think he was sorely missed there. Even if it would have been a small scene,
Moffat say, "Look, you know, I tried to sit down with him, but Moffat was also like, look, I understand where he's coming from too, and he's like, I tried to do it, it didn't happen, but it was still, and it was a fantastic episode." So
if I was the Doctor, if I ever played the Doctor, I would be so jazzed to go back, even if just for like a half a day of shooting. Wouldn't it be fun just to, because it's something much bigger than you, one role.
You saw
a little biased, Bill.
Well, I think it's a show. I mean, you're part of a thing that's been around for 50 years. Like,
but
you can't spare a half a day to go be part. I don't know.
Even surrounding the episode, seeing the actors who had played the Doctors when they were going around, and they did that funny little...
They're really nerdy.
There's a great interview.
Sylvester McCoy is like running around and
they're trying to sneak on.
He did not age well.
They're trying to like sneak on. It's a cute little whatever short. And you know what? It just shows they generally people have a good feeling about this. So I was sad about Eccleston, but what can you do?
There's a great interview with Tom Baker where they ask him, you know, what do you think about us still asking you about Doctor Who after all these years? And he goes, my boy, I never stop being the Doctor. Yeah. I'm the Doctor. David Tennant's the Doctor. Yeah. Matt Smith is a Doctor. For the rest of their lives, they'll be the Doctor. And yep. I think there is this great pride that many of the actors do about carrying this torch forward for this for this amazing sci-fi franchise. I'm going to go with my number four, which is a good tie-in to yours, Conrad. My number four is A Christmas Invasion, which was the first full 10th Doctor episode. I put this here because I think... Like my number five pick, this was a great introduction to what regeneration means to this new generation of fans. I thought there were some fun moments, including him quoting the Lion King, seeing the big red button and...
Satsuma!
Satsuma.
Actually, so I will tell you, we didn't quite get a mind meld, but that was my number three.
Ah, now why is it your number three?
Because it is the introduction to the 10th Doctor.
Oh, I don't know what kind of man I am and
exactly.
all that stuff.
Yeah, that and was like there's some fantastic.
It's all
am
untested.
I a fighter? Am I a love? You know,
it's all
like
untested.
Whole,
yeah, this whole
it's
idea.
It's untested. Also, there is a fantastic little like just at the very end where he's trying on the new wardrobe and you get to see the wardrobe.
Yeah,
which like you always want to see a bit of the TARDIS. So to be able to see that piece of
and they're
it
waiting for
was
him
so
at Christmas
exciting
dinner.
And they're all waiting for him and it's like, and you see the That's outfit cute. And it was cute. And I also, you know, oh, I want to be a ginger.
I wanted to be a ginger.
But how much softer that is than what we just watched today.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. totally.
You
different.
Know?
Yeah.
But I think that shows you just sort of how great the show is because it has it, you can have that wide spectrum. Every doctor could be different. Every doctor can be like have a different style and a different flair. Such an amazing show for that reason, a very creative show for that reason, and that premise alone just gives you such amazing things.
I agree.
I'm with you.
And also that I think that's why it has the longevity it has is because it can change so much. So
wait, were we missing Derek?
We're
number
missing
four?
Derek, you're number four.
My number four is contained in a mini episode, which was The Night of the Doctor, where we see Paul McGain, my boy that no one else likes.
But you know
every your pick, every of your picks is related to the TV movie.
But you know what? No,
well, no
it's
Moffat
let him finish.
This.
Let
Moffat
him finish.
This is this mini episode. But I think the reason why I like it so much is because we see the origin of the War Doctor, and he's one of my favorite aspects of the of this universe. Of the
and
Doctor's
it connects
lifetime.
The old to the new, right?
Yeah, it does. It does in a very neat way.
That's sort of the missing link.
Yeah, exactly. It is like the missing
for decades.
Link.
And, well, not for decades, but for a long time.
Yeah,
it's a missing link.
And so, I think we've seen the regeneration of every Doctor. Well, I guess it was when John Hurt changes, but. We get to see the regeneration of every Doctor, and I was really glad we got to see that. And it gave insight into whether the Doctor can choose their what they're like.
True. Yep.
And the Sisterhood,
or is it what Gallifrey or whatever does control thinks that the next Doctor needs to be in order to do his job.
Well, I think it's ambiguous though, but it
because
offers
that goes to today
into...
when they said like why did they choose this and like
right.
why did he make me so
right.
there is a question of like well who decides that is it and, some sort of higher power or you know
yeah which makes you wonder was did Moffat even have like I mean he must have had the idea in mind for what was going to happen this season back then so maybe he was even working some of that in there.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I almost forgot
about that little mini episode.
Yeah, I loved it.
I didn't forget about that. That's my number two pick, Derek.
Oh!
That's my number two regeneration moment. I think it's so... I just love seeing that little bit of the Time War and the Eighth Doctor saying, you know, I'm the Doctor, and the person on that ship saying, I don't need a doctor. Get out of here. Like, the fear.
She hated him. She's afraid of him.
Absolutely. Well, and you see some of that anger that he has towards himself He says, physician, heal thyself, says the names of his companions from the audio series.
Yes, which was a great acknowledgement.
Which is so cool, which is, I think, so interesting with the BBC. It's such a more of a mature way of integrating different aspects of canon than we have here in America.
Well, I'm sure there's still stuff that doesn't work out, you know what I mean?
No, but they do integrate some of it, and I think when you see the War Doctor saying, Doctor no more, and that questioning of the identity and who he is and what's about to happen, it is such a great little moment. I loved watching
it's very mystical, isn't it? Like there's sort of priests kind of
the
thing.
The Sisterhood of Karn.
The Eighth Doctor, I think, and his TARDIS and that TV movie. I think it actually did tie in a lot of that really well.
Yeah.
Wait, so that's just that's Derek's number four?
That's number four.
Okay.
Derek's number four. Number two.
Okay.
I wonder if what that ceremony they went through, did it have an actual influence?
Yeah.
Or was it just some, you know, was it just like a kind of like, you know, religious or meditative thing to help him, you know, decide who he is on his own? Like, does he have that ability on his own? And that was just a way to kind of like channel it through his subconscious?
Or is it just like what he expects and what you think? And that he sort of became the War Doctor because he thinks he's the War Doctor.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I mean, what if that's a whole... what if that's a placebo?
I don't know.
But also she does say, do you want to be a woman? So...
Yeah.
I think that acknowledges the fact that they can change gender if they want to.
Well, it says, instead of being random, male or female, this or that, and I'm like, really? Random? We've had, like, 13 doctors now. They're all white men. Come on, BBC.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm fine with different kinds of men, but, a gender change, I mean, that changes... I think that changes their...
I think that would be fantastic.
There are women time lords, and I think that changing genders would change the persona a little too much.
You know what it would change? It would change is what bathroom the doctor goes to, and that's about it.
I doubt it. He only has one bathroom in the TARDIS.
Then it wouldn't even change that.
I don't actually really know that. I'm.
You do your
mine,
number three.
Mine was my number three was you what? Just said Heather again.
Oh shit. Sorry.
It's okay.
My number three was Ali's number four. So
we're going...
It was the Christmas invasion.
So we need Derek and Bill's number three pick. And maybe mine, too.
And mine,
too.
My number three was actually in this episode we just watched.
Oh!
Nice!
The conversation he has with the drunk in the alley. And... where he actually he's actually questioning. I mean, I guess it's the kind of thing that Tennant does more whimsically in The Christmas Invasion, but he's like, you know, what made me this way? Why am I this way? And it's really, he's confusion, and he's trying to figure out, and he's like, it's almost like he felt like he's had something decided for him. And so I think it was just, it kind of addresses the idea of what defines the next incarnation. Like, what is their personality like, and what did they lose, what did they gain, in a more serious kind of philosophical light than we really see. Or I'm not familiar with the classic ones, but where we see anywhere else in the show.
Sure. So I think that's fair.
I would agree with you. That was a great moment.
Plus, it had some amazing lines in it as well.
Yeah.
It was well written.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll give my number three. My number three pick is Robot, the Fourth Doctor's regeneration. So he's with the unit doctor, and he's saying, "You're not fit." And I love the nine. Not fit. I'm the doctor. No, doctor. I'm the doctor. You might be the doctor, but I'm the doctor. The definite article. You might say
the definite article.
I love it. That's why it's in there. Just that little bit.
Mind melt.
Now,
the reason why I liked it, the dialogue is great there, and a little silly, but also really, you know what I liked about Tom Baker's Doctor is that there was this certain
awesome?
Well, yeah, he was, but he was in charge and somehow arrogant without sounding arrogant. And I don't know what it was. Well, he was
He was a little loopy, too.
Yeah, loopy enough so that it was disarming so that you didn't notice how arrogant he was actually being.
There was a sense of humor about it that wasn't...
It was also him going in and out of the TARDIS and changing clothes, and then he comes out wearing the scarf. And if you've watched years of Tom Baker, then you go back and watch that episode again. It's sort of like it's sort of like Norm coming into the bar. You're like, hey, it's the guy. You know, there's the scarf, and here we are. That would be my number three as well.
Conrad, what do you got for us?
Number two, I guess.
Oh wait, yeah, we already have your number three. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, did you do your number three? Did we just talk? Yours was the mine. Six. Oh, okay.
Mine was. This is getting. Wibbly-wobbly.
Yeah.
Number twos. Conrad, let's see.
My number two is the appearance of the 11th Doctor. I think... And it's... You know what? It wasn't... This is the thing. I was very skeptical of Matt Smith when he was first announced. I was. And I thought that the 11th Hour was... What? Are you giving me a hard time?
No, I'm agreeing with you. That's my number two as well.
What part of his?
Oh, this is the thing. So I thought when it was first announced that he was going to be the Doctor, I was truly skeptical. I just really thought he was way too young. He really, to me, didn't have the gravitas to be the Doctor, at least what I saw of him. And this is only me seeing him as, like, the actor. And he had done, like, a couple of, you know, sort of teaser things, and I was just like, no. And then the episode came on, and first of all, the production value was way up. So this is something
the
to
lighting
do.
Lighting in that yard when they pan across it.
Yeah, everything was really beautiful.
The music
was amazing, but also his interaction with young Amy Pond.
Yes.
I thought was incredible.
That's my number two.
Amelia Pond, the fairy tale name.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You know what it was for me?
Guys,
it was
the fish sticks and custard. You guys,
it's the kitchen sequence.
Yeah, it's the kitchen sequence.
That kitchen scene is arguably one of the top five scenes in all of Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's just fantastic.
So it's that moment.
It's everything that makes Doctor Who great is in that kitchen scene.
And then there's the ending scene where he's up on the roof talking to the Atraxi, and they do this fantastic, basically, I think, it's just this callback, and they show all the Doctors.
And then he walks through the last one.
Yeah. It was a really great entrance for him. So I didn't really pick a moment, but I thought that episode was ridiculously well done.
I remember when you and I were sitting here watching that with, I think, my sister and my brother-in-law.
And then they left and we wanted to watch it again.
Yeah, and I remember what, you know, once the Doctor came in and they were, doing the whole thing, and then the whole, you know... Box falls out of a sky, a man falls out of a box, like, and there you sit, but you're scared of a crack in the wall. You know, that must be some crack. There was this glow that I had, because I love the Moffat episodes that you were talking about, Derek. There was this glow that it's like, oh my God, if this whole thing is going to be like this scene, like this 10 minutes, it gave me, like, goosebumps. I was like, if this is what Moffat Doctor Who is going to be like this production quality, this kind of writing... You know, yeah, well, arguably, sure. But, like, at the time, I was like, oh, my God. Like, that, it gave me, you know, that made me really excited about the future. So, my number two as well. Yours, too?
The kitchen scene. Yeah. In particular. Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything
you guys,
said.
This is my number one pick.
Oh!
The 11th Hour.
Okay, of course it is going to be, because you started with him.
It has to be, yeah. So, when I was asking around for recommendations of episodes to get... that are a good introduction to understand who the Doctor is. My friend Josue Cardona, who we've had on the show.
Josue!
What's up, Josue? He said, Ollie, you gotta watch The 11th Hour. And I watched it, and I got those goosebumps. It's such an exciting episode, and it's such a great introduction to this character, his psychology. There's no existing companion. We're coming in here with a brand new companion, a brand new doctor, a brand new theme. It was such an exciting episode. I think it stands up as one of the best Doctor Who episodes, period.
True.
Like, yeah, I think it can be on a top 10 list, not just top 10 new Doctor Who regeneration episodes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Just an amazing episode. I love watching this episode.
Wow. Ollie's number one. Do we already had your number two, right?
Yeah, I'm all...
You're all done.
All out. Bent out, yeah.
All right.
I'm just going to sit
Derek,
here
what was your number one?
Keep my mouth shut.
My number one was from the TV. can
I use my number five again?
My number one is not from that one.
But the commercial and for I hope, the Doctor Who
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think this counts, as we were discussing the criteria earlier, but... It's my favorite moment in the show so far, and it's in a really crappy episode, which kind of sucks because I love it so much, but the episode's pretty bad. And it's the end of time, which is Tennant's last episode. And
oh, are you, when he says goodbye to everybody?
No. I actually don't like
that. Because I'm going to have to argue with you.
No, it's not that one.
Although
it's
like seeing Jack Harkness.
I actually thought that kind of ruined the powerful emotion thing that
happened. It's the
before.
Knocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the knocking?
No, it was when he was... he has to make a choice whether to give his own life in exchange for Donna's father.
Right. Wilf.
Yeah, who, while he was a very entertaining and a character I think everyone loved, he's pretty minor and he's not that important.
Yeah.
And he's an old man. He's a human, so he's at the end of his life. And, you know, we don't know how old number 10 was, but presumably he could go on to live many years before regenerating again using one of his regenerations. But he kind of has this... just incredible monologue where he debates with himself and it's very antagonistic towards Wilf, and he's like, why should I have to die for you? He's like, I'm so much better than you. He says all the things that you would actually be thinking.
The audience
proxy, as opposed to being like humble and like, oh, of course I'll die. Every life matters. He's saying all the things that are true that would any rational person would be considering and weighing. And then there just comes the moment where he's like, no, I can't do that because that's not who I am. And I think...
And it's really sad, too. It's also...
It is. Incredibly...
It's a very strongly... It's a well-written...
There is also that sense where the whole episode, it's sort of... He knows it's coming, and he knows, like, the person who knocks is going to do it. And then it turns out it's Wilf locked inside the cage.
Yes.
And then you can see this look on David Tennant's face. He's like, oh.
Because he's gotten rid of the...
Yeah, everything's all done.
Everything's taken care of.
Yeah.
He got rid of the master. Everything's... safe and sound. It's okay. He saved the human race yet again. It's time for him to go off. And then, he hears the knock. And it's,
I agree.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I think it's Davey's best writing on the show, and I think it's Dent's best acting.
I have to go back and watch the end of that episode.
That's a good pick, Derek.
Good pick, Derek.
And, definitely.
Wow, finishing out strong.
Or do you want me to do it?
What, the number one?
Yeah.
I'll let you do the number one since I stole your thunder on the other.
Bill,
you stole my thunder?
You got...
My favorite Doctor Who regeneration moment.
I know what it's going to be.
You know what it's going to be?
It's going to
be the TV movie.
No. I think you and I are going to have
Come
a
on,
final.
Really
okay, I have to vote for the final Tom Baker episode, which is called Legopolis.
Which is mine. My mouth.
Okay. And the reason I bring this up is twofold. One, because it's sad to see your doctor... go.
Yeah, and he was our doctor.
But there was also this sense that in Legopolis, the next doctor, number five, Davidson, was there as this weird shadowy ghost that was sort of showing up in the episode the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
And so there was this sense that he would see him and it was to be like, no, it's not, like, it's not time yet. You know, there was like this, like, I don't want to talk. Like, who is that guy? He's nobody.
Right.
Like, there's this,
right.
And there's this,
super weird.
And it goes on for the whole episode. And the master's in that one, too. And it's the master and the doctor up in the tower in Legopolis. And, you know, and he ends up, like, fighting with the master and he falls.
Yeah.
And he lands and he regenerates on the ground. Yeah. But it's this sort of this, I mean, that was how many years? 8 years? 9 years? How long was he?
He was the doctor.
Seven or eight years, something like that. Yeah, and it was, you know, so that's like a president changing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like for the people who are really into the show, that's a long time to have that person be in that role.
That foreshadowing was really unique. Yeah. We haven't seen that with any other regeneration.
And so there was a sense that it was like the end of this really long era. And in much the same way as the David Tennant ending was sort of predetermined by, you know, this future.
They're switching showrunners as well.
Exactly. Huh? That there was sort of like, oh, I don't want to go. This isn't, you know, like I'm still doing my thing. So for me, Legopolis is number one. But I don't know if it's fun to watch. And if you're a Doctor Who fan, go back and watch Legopolis because
it's
great.
Nostalgic, though.
But it's mostly a nostalgic vote.
Yeah.
And I thought it was done well, though. So
yeah,
Legopolis.
No, that was my number one, too. Ollie? Okay.
Why was it your number one?
Well, it's my doctor, or my doctor that I grew up with as a kid.
Yeah.
I feel like I almost have two doctors because, you know, it's. I feel like the reboot is almost, to me, it feels a little bit more like this is my adult part of the series somehow. but Tom Baker, I mean, he was my doctor. He is who I fully, and like, he was my intro to the show. And I remember seeing that episode and being so upset about it. And I actually, I'm not going to watch these other doctors. I mean,
the next doctor comes out and you're hooked.
Well, and it was also kind of weird because, you know, as we said, the PBS series, just the way they were airing them, you wouldn't always see. Mostly what I would see was a lot of the Tom Baker, but there was the Pertwee and stuff like that. And so whenever they would show up, it was hard to like, who are these guys and whatever. But when that particular episode was on, it was so upsetting. It was just, no, I was crushed. But
well, you know, what's interesting is that our number ones speak very much to the fact that we were fans of the show before the reboot, that we're holding on to a nostalgic moment more than.
Yeah. I'm kind of, I'm envious. I wish I had,
but I will tell you though,
yeah,
I had a
too.
Hard time. I struggled because the 11th hour, honestly, it was
great.
It was a toss up between those two, and I had to mention because he's my doctor.
It comes down to the lifelong fans versus the new fans on this episode.
I will tell you, I have a couple of honorable mentions.
I've got one too.
I got a couple. One of the things when we were talking about regeneration and the idea of moments is that the Master regenerates as well.
True.
And we don't actually...
And steals lives to, like, keep going and stuff.
Right, so he
I
was...
Just talking about Derek Jacob.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was such
and
a good
so
moment.
I thought that was pretty cool. I think it deserves a mention because he's such a cool villain.
Dun, dun, dun.
Especially like with the watch when he with
yeah
the Derek.
That was great in the reboot, and in the old version the doctor or the master regenerates too, mm-hmm. and interestingly enough, to go back to sort of like the canon of Doctor Who, is like he finishes his last regeneration, he has nowhere to go, and he ends up having to basically steal lives to have new in almost a vampiric way. So
Dave
there's
Roberts.
That's why he had snake eyes. And
there's that
one.
Eventually, but back in Tom Baker time, there was the Doctor had this weird sort of he was sort of like his face was falling off, like he had this terrible BBC makeup.
He had a terrible skin condition.
But there was this sense that his body was sort of rotting because he couldn't regenerate, and he was trying desperately to find a way to like figure out a new way to start over again. And in fact, I think there's a whole thing where he ends up working with the Doctor in order to get another regeneration. Oh, I'm going to get killed by serious Who fans on this one. But there is some kind of thing where they give him another
friend
regeneration.
Friend of the show, Alan Bilward.
Yeah. Or Ollie's new friend who knows everything about Doctor Who.
Alan Kiesner.
There you go. So anyway, I'll have to look that up and we'll put that in the show notes. But what else we got?
I've got two honorable mentions. Yep. Derek's going to be a fan of one of them. So I'm going to start out with the seventh Doctor's regeneration. It's Time and the Rani. Super confused who's who, and he tries to kill his companion, and his companion has amazingly awesome 80s shoulder pads. So I'm going to give it its honorable mention for that. Second honorable mention is from the Doctor Who movie.
Yes!
my favorite moment from the Doctor Who movie is when the Doctor says, "I love humans, always seeing patterns and things that aren't there."
Yes.
I cracked up when I heard that. Yeah. As a psychologist, I appreciate how that is a reality. We are pattern-seeing machines, and I love that the Doctor recognized that.
Has everyone crossed off everything in their notes that we have to talk about?
I think so.
I think so.
I have.
This was an amazing episode.
Epic.
Yeah, this was good.
Oh my gosh. Any other honorable mentions before we wrap this?
I have one that isn't necessarily a regeneration, but there was a moment we actually were... We were watching just like some of the Tenant Who episodes today, and there was the moment when Sarah Jane Smith comes back on the show, and sees
School Days, School something.
Yeah, and she sees the Tenth Doctor.
I like when she sees the TARDIS first. She goes into the room, she sees the TARDIS, and she just like backs out slowly.
And there's an exchange between them about the fact that he has regenerated, and he says, "Oh, I've regenerated half a dozen times." And so the impact of the regeneration is just really, you feel the weight of it there, and how she has continued to get older, and she's like, "Well, you look fantastic." And it's like this, it's just really, and also because I just loved her. She was just such a great piece and on the show, and she did her own little spin-off, which I thought was
and bringing
awesome.
Bringing her back on the show also added to the whole continuity to the old ones, right? That was that.
Right.
I like that they're adding that back in. I will tell you, it's rat hole, but
or at the end of the show, we had a lot of rat holes at this point.
When the reboot happened in 2005, and Eccleston said, "Oh, Gallifrey's gone. I'm the last of the Time Lords." That bothered me because one of the things I loved about the show was that he was on the run from Gallifrey, and Gallifrey was sort of the one time that was always, you always went back to the present, no matter what. You can't go back in time on Gallifrey. It was sort of like this, it was sort of like these overlords. It was an interesting concept. Like, these were the smartest, brightest, most technologically advanced.
Well, yeah, because he's all powerful.
And he threw that all out. Davies threw that all out.
He's all powerful on Earth, but this was almost like a checks and balances for them.
Yeah, and they threw that all out in Davies. And I was like, that was one of the coolest things, that there was like these super high-tech people, and he's one of them. I don't know,
since we're on the topic of rat hole, I was having lunch with Alan Kiesner yesterday.
Kistler.
The author of Doctor Who, A History. And one of the things that we started talking about is why the Doctor's been on the run.
Yeah.
And his whole idea is the Doctor broke the first rule of Time Lords, which is he looked into and saw his future. And his idea is he didn't like what he saw. And he's been...
Wanted to change it.
He's wanting to change it. He's been on the run, and he's been doing everything he can to change that future from happening.
Yeah. Do you think they'll ever show that?
I hope not.
Even in the last episode, you don't want them to
I don't
to
want there to be a last episode.
Okay, that's fair enough. I like the satisfaction of... I like when they actually tie up loose ends at the end of a thing. Like, I want to know... If you're going to run a mystery for 50 years, explain the mystery at the end.
I think Doctor Who has the potential to just keep on running.
Yeah, well, now that they've rebooted the regenerations. Derek, what are you looking up?
I'm looking up River Song's regeneration.
That's also good. Mm. Good point.
Wasn't she?
There was a weird thing. Like, is she, who? They never really explained why she has powers. Because he allowed her to regenerate. She took one of his.
It was because she was conceived on the TARDIS, and there was like waves.
Is that what? Yeah, did they ever say that?
Yeah, they say it. Yeah.
Okay, I missed that. And then there was the whole weird thing where, in the David Tennant timeline, where
it
they took his DNA and
it
had
was
the
kind of a
daughter
lame explanation, though.
There was the Doctor's daughter episode too,
that's true.
Which they never did anything with. Which I'm surprised.
I thought they were gonna. Well, probably because David Tennant married her.
That's true.
And she was also the grand. Wasn't she the?
She's
grand?
David. She's Peter Davidson's daughter.
Daughter. So you know, what are you gonna do?
It's all very incestuous.
It pretty much is. Wow, they do things
quite
differently.
Literally incestuous.
They do things differently at the BBC. All right.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah, that's definitely an honorable mention. Sorry.
No, that's a good one.
This has been so much fun watching this and talking about this tonight.
Man.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you for being here on a very late night. A lot of Doctor Who-ing today. Dear listeners, please let us know what you thought of the new Doctor, the 12th Doctor. Let us know who you think would make a better Doctor to travel with, the 11th or the 12th, and what your favorite Doctor Who regeneration moments are. Bill, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at BillWadman.com. That's my photography site and my blog and whatnot. I'm also on Twitter, @BillWadman, and you can listen to my photography podcast called On Taking Pictures over on 5x5 Network. So it's 5x5.tv/OTP.
Thank you for having us, or thank you for being on the show, Bill. We had a great time. For your third appearance, we really appreciate
keep
that.
Keep up the record.
Derek, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at my website, derekbishop.com. Also on Twitter, derekbishop8.
And where can people find, buy some of your work?
Well, there's a link on the website, too. It's from Storm Moon Press. I have a novella, ebook novella. It's a male-male romance, fantasy romance, about a guy who falls in love with a dragon. So it's pretty cool.
Well, everybody loves dragons, Derek.
Dragons are so in right now, too.
I'm hoping so, yeah.
I love it. Listeners, please let us know what you think. We are on Twitter at Nerd Hour. You can also contact us through email at info@superfantasticnerdhour.com. We also have a little website, superfantasticnerdhour.com. Or if you're lazy, just type in nerdhour.com. It'll take you to our website. Conrad, where can people find you?
This week, they can find me on Twitter. I'm DiePrince, and my other podcast, Reanimated, reanimatedpodcast.com, and on Twitter, we're ReanimatedPcast.
Nice. I like that you got it on the first go this time.
Okay, I've been practicing. And I am very tired, but I tried. I tried very hard.
We did it. We did it, Conrad. I am Alima2 on Twitter, and I am also the science fiction psychologist at BrainKnowsBetter.com. We'll be back next week. We have no idea what we're talking about because we have been staring into the time vortex for far too long. But we'll be back next week with another episode of Super Fantastic Nerd Hour. Until then... this is when I say live long and prosper.
Indeed.